All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
I'm Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you're providing a meal, you're housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
It's a very important conversation about the Erie International Airport. And with us here to my left is Dan Gianelli. He is the president of the Erie Regional Airport Authority. Hey, Dan, welcome back.
Hey,
appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
And we have the executive director of Erie International Airport, Derek Martin. Good to see you, sir.
Great to be here. Thank you.
All righty. So we are getting caught up, and let's kind of give a, some kind of a timeline here, give some perspective. It was about a year ago, or right around this time.
End of March, yep.
Yeah, end of March, yep. That we heard from United that they, after telling us 2 weeks earlier that they wanted to bring in larger apparatus, one side of the company wanted to bring more service, while the other bosses said, hey, we're going to drop Erie. Talk about that, Derek. You know.
Well, it's a tale of two stories and a tale of actually looking at the numbers, I think.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks ago, Dan and I went to an air service event at Savannah, Georgia. There was 9 airlines. We had some great one-on-one meetings. The past week, we had our air service consultant come to town, and we gave public meetings for our board as well as the community. It was covered on the Erie News Now, one of the TV stations, of what took place. And he brought some interesting data, and the data is what's real. And if you look at the numbers, United Service, we were the second worst producing revenue for United on flights to Chicago.
Second worst producing revenue.
Correct.
So what were they looking at? That were they looking at the net after CPE, cost per employment, or they were looking at the bulk amount of money?
The bulk amount of money. So one of the easiest ways to explain this one is with the Delta Airlines.
Sure.
So he did that too for the folks here in the community. Delta Airlines closed 15 stations. Erie was the 11th. Highest or lowest producer in that market sphere in 2019. He used 2019 numbers, and we had $10 million that year in revenue. Flint was the number two that got canceled. They were at about 22.5, and the largest airport canceled with Detroit service was Manchester, New Hampshire, at 23.8, almost $14 million more in revenue.
It still wasn't enough for Delta.
Correct. And so if you look at what they were doing with changing their flights, transitioning from larger aircraft to or from smaller aircraft to larger aircraft, it's a challenge. 2 weeks ago, the Delta person basically said, unless we can do a two cabin in your market, which means they want a coach class and a first class, they're not coming, because the 50 seat regional jet that they flew, they don't fly anymore. It's nowhere, it's nowhere in their marketplace.
Yeah, we're having trouble with the door. So, again, you know the apparatus. What is it? What is a typical? I mean, I can think of a MD-80 or whatever. You know, whatever the modern version of that is. But in regional jet situations here, what are we talking about with two cabins? What would that look like?
That would be a CRJ 700, or it would be an Embraer 175.
Right. So one is the Canadian, one is the Brazil.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And what do those seat generally, Derek?
76 at that model. Yeah. The next one up from that is the CRJ-900, which can seat up to about 80 passengers.
So we were pretty – I mean, when you think about what United was trying to do,
right,
we were getting close to that level of service.
Well, American actually, prior to the pandemic, started the 76-passenger airplane here for a couple of times. Then the pandemic hit. United was scheduled to do it,
yeah,
and then that all stopped. So the pandemic's changed everything. I think, as I mentioned before, if you look at the salaries that the air carrier pilots are making, they've increased almost 12% across the board a year for pilot contracts just recently. So the highest was Southwest Airlines gave their pilots 50% increase over a five-year period, so an average of 10% increase a year. And so we have pilots that are, you know, in well in excess of six figures and going into the 200,000 range to be a pilot of an aircraft here in this country.
Dan, from the board's perspective, are you sensing that the goalposts have kind of changed as you've kind of been in this era, you know, post-pandemic here, that, boy, the minimums, you know, are just harder to reach? I mean, if we've never generated $24 million in revenue, I mean, how do you even get there if that's not enough to keep service?
Yeah, so I've been on this is my 10th year on the board, my last year that I'm going to be serving on the board. And the conversation has really changed over the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years since the beginning. You know, back 8 years ago, 9 years ago, you know, you had the turboprops jumping you over to Detroit and a little bit more service than that. But even then, we were you know, there was never discussion about CPE at that point. Mm-hmm. We were still in the phase of, you know, there's plenty of service out there. It doesn't really make a difference what your CPE is, so we'll do what we need. We'll just do whatever at the airport.
Well, and again, let's be clear here. We heard from O'Hare, for example, we're talking about Chicago O'Hare, that the vast majority of their revenue comes from regionals coming in. It's not Chicago bound or Chicago originated traffic. They depend on the regionals bringing their passengers in as a hub. And so that's where little markets like us came in, is that we were supplying, you know, the people,
more
right?
Passengers. More passengers. Yep, that's it. But, and again, you know, the conversation that we've been having is you can't just take and throw planes everywhere now. You can't just go and throw a plane, three planes in Erie, and let's get anybody that we can get out of Erie. Let's throw, you can't just throw them anywhere and do that. So they have it's a limited market, and they have to be very targeted with that market and very profit focused on that market. So they're saying, okay, here's 12 places that want planes, that want service. We have 8 planes here. We're going to put them at the most profitable ones.
One of the things that I think people, as one of our other consultants says, is if your memory is what happened prior to 2019 is where you want to go, that's ancient history.
Yeah.
And I keep hearing people in this community will say, well, I used to fly US Airways. Well, they're not in business anymore,
right?
Okay?
Yeah.
There's not a hub in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And so things have changed and evolved, and that's where the challenge is. And I think sometimes people don't think that we're doing enough, but I don't think they understand this is not a transitional conversation or dialogue. It's not like you're going to Burger King and say, I want 20 Whoppers, here's my money, and I'm leaving. There's a lot more to it. And so if you look at some of the things that people might want in this community that we don't have, I understand we don't have a Chili's.
Right.
A lady that works for me wants a Chili's. We don't have a Chili's. We don't have a Costco, Trader Joe's. There's a variety of stores that we don't have. And a lot of that has to do with the business model of the community and what the revenue that they need to generate, just like we just talked about with the airlines moving forward. So those are the things that are the challenge. And I think the biggest thing that came out of this whole dialogue, and I think the board has been educated on it, is that there is no other airport the size of Erie in this country that does not have a low-cost carrier.
Say that one more time.
There is not one community the size of Erie with the demographics that we have that doesn't have a low-cost carrier.
So is that a positive for us that we're due?
It's a positive because we can do correlations between other communities. So, for example, okay. we just did a, it's called the second home study. So as we're trying to talk to low-cost carriers that going down to Florida, we did a study on second homes. And there's poor people that own second homes in Erie in different markets down in Florida than other communities that have low-cost service to those cities. Mm-hmm. So when you're having these conversations and dialogue with the airlines, you can bring that up to them and give them additional information to make them feel more comfortable about serving our market.
So, and one of the other key points to put in here is, although we have a very good memory of the history of air yeah. service in Erie, airlines have a good memory as well. And so coming out of pandemic and going back into a little bit more of an expansion phase where they're starting to go back out into regional areas, they're saying, they're looking at, we have to make the argument that we have changed. So we're no longer Erie International Airport at 32 CPE. We're Erie International Airport that has a lower CPE. We have a community fund behind us. Here's a letter that shows that the Fly Erie Fund is supported by local businesses as well as local government. And this is Erie now. And so we have to go out and make that case that this is Erie now. And forget what you knew about Erie before. And that's what we're doing right now. So that's where these conferences that we go and we meet with, we meet with our consultant, we meet with the airlines, help us reintroduce that message. And it's coming across well.
I want to ask you before we go to the break about why American is gutting it out. Because you know as well as I do, there were several cities that totally lost air service. Why did American stick it out?
Well, in 2018, we got them to get out of the Philadelphia hub and go to Charlotte. Charlotte has a lot more international connectivity and also a nicer flow down to Florida. Mm-hmm. American did not proactively make a decision to leave the regional jet market as quickly as Delta did. Delta made that decision in 2009.
Yeah.
So if you check your paper yesterday or 2 days ago, it talked about firm orders from American Airlines for all different aircraft types.
Yeah.
And in that order group was Embraer 175s. So they still
believe... That's the 50-seater.
That's the 70. That's the 76-seater.
Yeah.
So they still believe that there's value in communities such as Erie to feed the... As you were trying to talk about O'Hare,
yeah.
I'd call it you feed the mothership.
Yes.
You're feeding the mothership with passengers that are going to whatever destination around the world through those hubs.
But they weren't scared away from our CPE, and we've been throwing that around. It's cost per employment. That's every person coming from Erie onto a jetway into a plane here. They were not scared when we had an out of whack CPE.
No, we had candid conversations with them.
I'm sure they were very candid.
So
right?
that they were out of whack.
And
they basically said to me, you're 27% higher than other airports your size. And I said, okay. And so we reduced that 54%. So wow. Now we're in the game.
Yes.
And so we put a structure in place that basically allowed, if they grew, they weren't penalized. So the old structure we had, Delta, because they operated three flights a day, we had what was called a common use calculation, and that common use calculation was divided by the three airlines.
Yeah.
But it's divided by passenger boardings. So if you boarded, 20,000 more than your competition, you're paying that percentage
more
than they are. So now that calculation is at two flights a day, I think they're at $14.30.
Okay.
And when they go to three flights, they go down to $12.30.
So there's incentives.
There's incentives to
for
grow.
Them to grow.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it was the whole structure at the airport when Derek came in that needed to get redone.
Yeah.
So it was employees. It was just the way that we were doing things mm-hmm. that we had higher expenses that we really didn't need and shouldn't be doing. And yeah. So, that was one of the first things that Derek said is that we need to address this pretty quickly. And so, and we're running pretty efficiently now.
It's so interesting, Dan, that, you know, that basically there are, when we first started doing these conversations, like, it doesn't seem like there's any market forces at play, but there are definitely market forces at play. Yeah. It's just that the airlines dictate the market.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the reality that we live in.
Yeah.
Yeah. The, my first boss in aviation said to me, he says, the airlines do one thing well every day. And I said, what's that? They leave your community and they don't have to come back because their assets are mobile. Yeah. I mean, they might have a few things, computers and, you know, some things at the gates, but you know, for the most part, they can take that and go elsewhere. So if you look at those charts of if we're the 11th producing in revenue and number one, there's a $14 million gap, you know, if you have one asset, where are you putting that asset?
Right.
And most likely it's the other location. So that's where the challenge is. And then the thing that hurt us the most was Delta's wanting to go out of the regional jet market, the smaller planes, but they replaced them with an A220, which was a plane with 109 seats to a 139 or 140. Mm. And so you can see, you know, going from a 50 passenger to over double that number, that was not going to work in the Erie market. Yeah. And so they don't have a plan to replace that. So they're clicking off cities that can accommodate that bigger aircraft to destinations they serve.
I want to talk about these efforts that were happening community-wide. We heard that the Fly Erie Fund, is, which is a public-private partnership that the Erie Regional Chamber is really spearheading here, to get that get those incentives to bear. And, Derek, you said something off the air that said, basically, all the growth that we're seeing in other airports in our region, you know, when I'm talking about 250 miles in all directions, are being fueled by incentives. This is kind of where this airline industry is at right now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you Google airline incentives in Pittsburgh, Canton, Akron, and Cleveland, you'll see Pittsburgh has a private fund of the local businesses there that are providing incentive to different airlines. I think they have a $3 million incentive to British Airways, and they've already spent $1.5 million of that. I can't remember.
Is that for a flight to London?
To London,
Gatwick or whatever?
Yeah.
Heathrow.
Yeah. And then there's, I can't remember, it's Pittsburgh or Canton, Akron. They gave $500,000 for each route that they flew out of that market to a new destination. Wow. And so when you look at those sort of things, that's why the Fly Erie Fund helps us get into the game so that we can have a similar playing field as we go forward having these conversations with airlines.
You mentioned also before the break that there is not another small market like Erie that doesn't already have an ultra low-cost carrier. But that's it. We have to get that cost per employment down to what, $6-$7? How do we do that, Dan?
Well, we're good. I mean, that's where the Fly Erie Fund comes in, and that's where us as an airport looking to commit that going forward, and recognizing that increase in passenger service helps to reduce that cost as well.
Okay.
So part of it comes from the Fly Erie Fund. Part of it comes from our financials to make it work, and also the expectation that we're going to be growing passengers as well. So we can do that. So we can do that there, and that's.
So the other thing with that is we had things that happened over the years that affected air service. So when we did the runway expansion, the reason that the expansion was done was the airport was on a safety waiver from the FAA, and the airlines were what we call taking a penalty. If the plane could hold 50 passengers because of the restrictions of the runway, well, they only could go to 40. So there's 10 seats that weren't available from a profitability standpoint. We have letters from ultra-low-cost carriers that said, we'd love you to serve the market. They wrote back, your runway's not long enough.
Wow.
So we got rid of that. So then the next thing we've now tackled the CPE. Mm-hmm. So I think we've continued to overcome the hurdles. We just, the thing that's challenging is everybody's trying to get delivery of aircraft.
Yes.
And so they're waiting for aircraft to do some of these expansions and growth. And we're in that sort of waiting game.
And Boeing right now, the news isn't great out of Seattle.
No, it's not. And so there's a lot of, well, I try to tell people there's a lot of outside forces that Erie has no control over.
Right.
And so the manufacturing of an aircraft, we got nothing to do with that. So when you look at all these sort of things, you know, you really just have to continue to make your case and make sure that people understand where you are and where you've gone and understand where we want to continue to go.
I'm concerned because I got a text here. How many airports our size have three other airports within 100 miles? Well, in Pittsburgh's actually a little bit further. There is that concern that people are losing hope or giving up on ERI. Does that concern you, Dan?
A little bit, but you know, we have to do our job as well and bring the service here. So, I mean, once we bring in a low-cost carrier and that service starts coming back, people are going to be like, yeah, why am I driving to Buffalo? Why am I driving to Pittsburgh? It just makes sense to get it out of Erie. So, I think as long as we take care of our business and start bringing some of that back in, people will see the value that we provide.
And the low cost carrier is going to be a couple times a week to a market like Orlando or Tampa or Lauderdale, or whatever.
So, but to answer your the question
text
that
there, yeah.
just came in via text. I'll give you one community, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Mm. Cedar Rapids, Iowa has Dubuque, Iowa to the east about 75 miles. Waterloo, Iowa, now that they put an interstate in. The old days I used to drive the two-lane road. It took you an hour and a half. Now it takes you 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You have Cedar Rapids, the city itself. And south of Cedar Rapids, you have the University of Iowa. Mm-hmm. That airport serves four communities. Dubuque lost all their air service. Waterloo is an essential air service city. Mm-hmm. But because they don't have the volume that Cedar Rapids does, everything's flowing to that city.
Gentlemen, we're getting an education here. All right, so let's talk baby steps forward here. We mentioned that American is gutting it out, and of course they're seeing 95%+ load factors, aren't they, Derek?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say they're more than gutting it out. They see that there's promise here at the Erie Airport. A lot of people don't understand that third frequency is a big deal.
Yeah.
If you look around the country, there's very few airports our size that have three frequencies. We talked about Peoria, Illinois.
Yeah.
They have two frequencies, the destinations that serve. So the third one, basically, that they tried in September that was hugely successful for 4 days a week for the whole month of September, the airport still went out at 95% load factor when adding that flight. So they see that, you know, there's promise. But we got to have – one of the things that the consultant wanted to remind people is – we have to support who we have.
Yes.
And Americans, the girl at the dance with us, we got to make sure we're dancing with her and supporting that airline and making those supporting decisions to do that. And I go to the gym in the morning. This one lady, Annette, she likes to fly out of town and everything. And she basically, you know, says, I'm flying out of Erie in April for my vacation.
Yeah.
I'm going to Florida. And she says, you know, there's a difference of about $50 a ticket. But that $50 was not worth driving to Cleveland, Pittsburgh, or Buffalo. And so she's flying out of Erie. So we really need people just to look and see. And sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't for you. Yeah. But as long as you're looking first, it's important.
I just went down to Fort Myers and flew out of Erie. And the reason why we're going, I was hoping for the low-cost carrier to be here already.
Yeah.
It's not. We're still working on it.
Yeah.
We're still working on it. We have some good leads. But I was just browsing around anyway, and I saw a flight to Fort Myers out of Erie for $211.
Wow.
So the flights are out there. Now, I didn't get it at $211. I waited 2 or 3 days and had discussions and then said, went back, and then it was up to like $300. But still, it's still reasonable. You need to browse around. And of course, if you fly on a Monday or a Friday or Sunday, it's going to be more expensive.
Right.
And depending on where you go as well. But there's some decently priced flights that are out there going through American.
Do we need to do more marketing of the airport, like just to the local community? And again, I have some skin in the game here because we happen to be an advertising facility here. But you know,
absolutely. But again, it's us taking care of our business as well. We need to bring the flights, and we get that low cost carrier going down to Fort Myers or Orlando. At $100, if not cheaper, maybe a little bit more, twice a week, people are going to see that, and they're going to be like, "Why am I going to fly Frontier out of Buffalo?" No, this makes sense.
So we have to do our balancing act when we do advertising. So for example, when your flights are going out at 95% load factor, it's hard to justify advertising.
Right.
However, we've got that third flight coming, so we've tagged in with one of the radio networks. They have some big promotion with Taylor Swift.
Okay, yeah.
So we're tagged into that promotion starting into March and April to, again, get the awareness out that we have the added flight so people will look. And so that's where the balancing acts. You know, to advertise just to advertise doesn't make sense because, you know, when you're at 95% load factor, really when you're at 95% load factor, you're actually full because you've got these people that have missed the flight.
You're more than full. I mean, when I was taking that flight back at 10 o'clock at night, you know, the personnel that were on the flight were like, yeah, Erie's full every night, every time, every day. It's always full, and we always have to either bump people or make some adjustments with the flight plan or whatever. But they talk about it as well. So that third flight is key that we move to.
And that starts April 30th? Is that
April 4th.
April 4th. So it's coming right up. Yeah. Let's grab a phone call here. Hi, caller. You're live here with our gentleman from the airport on Talk Erie. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm a retiree from American Airlines, and I just got a notice yesterday that they are ordering 240 new aircraft. About 60 to 80 of them will be CJs.
Okay.
I don't know about the pilot shortage. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks so much. Yeah, he said he didn't know about the pilot shortage, but they're ordering the apparatus.
Yeah, I think we talked about that online, is that American had made firm orders from the Embraer 175, and this gentleman's done his homework, and he's absolutely correct. So they're bringing on the bigger planes. So the 50. So American's plan here is we've got the 50 passenger regional jet. We fill all three of those, and then they're going to transition, you know, a 76 passenger plane in. So it most likely be the first flight out in the morning and the last flight in the afternoon to get the bulk of people out. And if that continues to be sex, they'll replace all those 50 seaters with the 76 seaters.
And because you really want to get to maybe an 80% load factor, right? Is that kind of the sweet spot, or you don't care? I mean, you'd like to run them at 95, or?
Well, people, that's one of the challenges. People think that if you have an 80% load factor, it's a sweet spot, but it also has to deal with the yield. How much money are you making on that plane?
Right.
So you could actually be successful at 80%. And you can also be a failure at 90.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you want to be able to have a couple seats for that guy that says, I have a meeting, I've got to go now.
Yes.
And,
well,
I'm paying top dollar.
No, those bigger planes bring in first class seats as well.
Okay.
And so the airlines make a good amount of money on those first class seats. And so that helps with the profitability of that. So you can reduce that number down a little bit of capacity, but also make up for it because you're going to have those first class seats on it as well.
Can I bring up an adjacent issue and talk about user experience at Erie International Airport? And one of the things that has come to my attention is that it is very difficult to get ground transportation at ERI. Uber here in Erie seems to not be much of a thing. We no longer have a cab service. And I guess just a few of the hotels have dedicated shuttles. What are you guys hearing about ground transportation?
So we really attacked this issue as a community a couple years back. So you're right. The gentleman that ran the taxi company, he passed away. His family didn't want to pursue that business. So that went away. Ubers and Lyft were pretty plentiful before the pandemic, and then people just didn't want to have people in their car. So there's less people in the town doing Ubers and Lyft than they've had in the past. Our CFO, his wife, wanted to go out at night with the girls, and he says, well, you better be careful, you might not get a ride. So he had to wake up his young kid in the middle of the night to go pick her up at a bar because he couldn't get an Uber and Lyft. So it's a community thing. So what we did with the Chamber of the City and some other folks is we had some conversations with the Bayfront hotels. We had our premium hotel downtown on the Bayfront that didn't have a shuttle. So now they operate a shuttle. And so every flight that comes in, they're there waiting for people that are getting off that plane that are coming to their hotel.
Okay.
So you don't have to call. They're waiting. So we've got that piece. Also on our website, we list some other ground transportations in the community. One is I think it's Nelson Aaron Services.
Yeah.
You can call
it. It's Hanson.
Hanson's. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Hanson's Aaron Services.
So if you book ahead,
Right.
They can meet you at the airport when you arrive with the signs, or almost like a limousine service.
Sure.
So it's one of those things that as we travel, or our history of traveling, we took things for granted.
Sure.
And you can't take things for granted anymore. I mean, I was in Orlando for a conference a couple of years ago, and this couple that came in from L.A. said they waited 45 minutes at Orlando for an Uber. And then they got surge charging, and they got, you know, they got charged $60 to go 12 miles. And so it's not just an Erie thing. Mm-hmm. It's a bigger picture, but we've tried the best we could to try to address it and get the word out. And our website reflects the ground transportation's availability and what people can have to do. But it is a challenge. We also have the city bus
that's
there as well.
Derek's made a couple of drop-offs himself. So
wow. Well, it makes me wonder if there's an entrepreneurial opportunity there, because I, you know, when I go to LAX, I'm usually getting the super shuttle or DFW or whatever, you know, and that franchise is everywhere. Not that, I mean, I would think that somebody wouldn't need to do a franchise.
Well, I'll tell you mentioned about advertising earlier and the fact that we have 95% load factor, and do we really need to do advertising? Well, we actually have an initiative going on at the airport that we have a strategic plan that we're looking into terminal and passenger service. Mm-hmm. So specifically those pieces, so ground transportation, signage at the airport, facilities at the airport, what can we do to help enhance those so that we do get to the point where we need to do a little bit of marketing and promoting, that we're also establishing the best environment that we can do right now, not just sort of sitting on our hands. Yeah. So, you know, Erie Insurance has been involved with us. The chamber's been involved with us, and we're taking that and moving that forward and coming up with a strategic plan for that as well.
Let's talk here. We're down to our last 7 or 8 minutes with our friends here from the airport. So you said the 5th of April, we're adding that third flight to Charlotte on American Airlines, and we might see larger apparatus by the end of the year, you think, or?
No, when you have a plane that's going to be delivered, it's going to be after that.
Okay,
I mean, it takes time to manufacture and build them. So I think as we're talking into maybe the spring and summer of the following year, we might see some upgauging of equipment to the bigger aircraft. But again, you know, we have this whole summertime period and into next year to see how, you know, the community responds and the planes continue to be filled. Right. And American basically communicated to us 2 weeks ago, this is their plan. This is what they'd like to see out of our market. If the growth and the load factor and the profitability continues,
what is the likelihood of the ultra low cost carrier making a commitment to Erie in 2024?
Well, if I
even if they don't start service yet,
if I'm very optimistic, what I would like to see is them starting the fourth quarter of this year or first quarter of next year.
With service.
And so we are trying to continue to make the case and understand, have these conversations, and try to get us to the front of the line. Mm-hmm. All these airlines have communities and opportunities, and we have to really make the case that we are worthy of an opportunity.
And go ahead.
And I think we are a little bit ahead of the curve on that, because we've been working with a consultant, because we have the Flyery Fund developed and commitments from them. Yeah. We're ready to go. Where other communities are still sort of figuring out what to do, we have our game plan, we have our strategy, and we're out there and we're marketing it right now. You know, the consultant that we've used, they were able to pull together the business plan to identify those target communities where we should be flying and where they will be profitable. Okay. So they're able to pull in those key statistics that we really don't have access to say, here's this community, it's similar to Erie, and they're doing existing service to a place like this. Mm-hmm. Erie has the same demographics and same background as that this is going to be just as profitable for you. And so now it's just a matter of, you know, we're in the conversations with those low-cost carriers right now, and that's in front of them, and we're getting pretty close.
I mean, people got to know that pretty much it is a knowable thing to know how much leakage we have to the larger markets and what, you know, where people live, what zip codes they live at, and where they go to. We know who goes to Fort Myers. We know who goes to Orlando, who goes to Dallas or Vegas or what have you, right?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the numbers where before you had the community, I think it was all-time high in placements was about 225,000. So in 2019, before the pandemic, we had 107. So we were over 100,000 and 10 less than where the all-time high is. And so this airport or this community has always had demand. You just haven't had enough seats to meet the demand.
Right.
So even
right.
when you had most likely 225,000 people flying out of this community, you still had people going Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Buffalo.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
so it's one is re-educating those people of the opportunities to fly in and out of Erie. I think Dan, you know, mentioned, you know, the fare that he found going to Florida. My mm-hmm. CFO went to Orlando for a conference under $300,000 round trip in February to Orlando.
$300.
So, $300. Yeah. And yeah. so it's... those things are out there, and that's what we're looking to continue.
Let's grab another phone call. Hey, you're live with our friends from the airport here on Talk Erie. Go ahead.
Hey, Joel, it's your friend Ryan from just down the road. I just want to make a comment. This has been a very insightful interview. Joel will tell you guys that I am a Orlando flyer. I go down yes. 3 to 4 times a year and would just love an Orlando flight. That's all. Just here to say thank you. Appreciate the interview.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye. Yeah, I mean, he's full out. He's decked out. Mickey Mouse ears, the whole shit. So if you can get MCO on the yeah. map, that would be amazing. You know, yeah.
Fort Myers, Orlando. Those are two. Those are the top biggies, spot. Las
they,
Vegas yeah. shows up for us as
and
well.
Tampa.
Vegas does show up, huh? Yep. In Tampa, yep. I could see where if Orlando doesn't have the slots, Tampa would be a good substitute. Yep. You know, because there's a lot of people in Erie that bought homes. Back in the 70s, they were selling homes for like 19 grand, you know, by Deltona or whatever mm-hmm. the manufactured housing mm-hmm. market was back in the day. No, but yeah, I mean, I was in meetings where people were saying, hey, we have our winter meetings in Tampa or in Orlando. We make that trip every year. And so those are the kinds of granular things that seems like the airlines are interested
yeah,
in.
Yeah,
right?
All those individual experiences add up. Not one individually will sell it.
Yeah.
So the fact that we have WabTech or Erie Insurance that are sending people regularly to Chicago or some other mm-hmm. destination, you know, you might get, you know, 10 or 15 seats a week out of that, maybe right. 20 seats. That doesn't get you a flight. Mm-hmm. What it does is a combination of those mm-hmm. areas. You know, that one of the other things that we heard from the airlines is it's not just about CPE anymore. It's about regional growth too. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for airlines or airports to fly out of that are cheap, but they're also looking for regions that are growing too, because sure. now that sort of solidifies the longevity of that area and potential growth because that area is growing. So in Erie, you know, we have to do our job. It's not just about bringing airports, airlines to the airport isn't an individual task. It's yeah. a community task, and it's not just about it's having people here, but it's having the businesses and the activity here that's going to drive that as well. You know, they feed off of each other, but right now the airlines are also looking for where's the active communities out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a community, you know, we need the community to be working on this stuff too.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you would recognize how strategic of an economic development tool this airport is, and
oh,
that's
yeah.
why
oh, yeah.
everybody's got an opinion about it, because they know yeah. that it's so strategic to the future of our renaissance that yeah. as you see other things happening around and you see this entrepreneurial spirit, the airport is yeah. a linchpin.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I experienced this when I lived out in Oregon, met this gentleman from Eugene, Oregon, and I said, why did you wind up in Eugene? And he was running a multi-million dollar business, and he said, I need three things to do my business. I need a phone, high-speed internet, and access to the national transportation ship system, and I get that through Eugene Airport to take me where I want to around the world. And wow. so that's why the airport is vital to this community, because the economic impact and it's on PennDOT's website. If you Google aviation economic impact in the Commonwealth, 2019 and 2020, there it gives you the state as a whole, but it tells you what Erie does from those numbers. And obviously they were higher in 2019 and went down in 2020, but the numbers are pretty staggering of what happens. So we got the eclipse coming to town in about 32.
I heard there's a charter coming.
Oh, there's a big one coming. There's a big one. So somebody's coming. We've got a couple Challengers and BBJ, which is a Boeing business jet for people that don't know.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Boeing business jet is the same aircraft that Southwest flies, 130 to 150 passengers. It's most likely configured to 20 passengers. But somebody's flying in here. They're going to come out to the airport. They're going to watch the eclipse and take off and leave.
Take off. Unbelievable. In our last minute, make your best case for listeners to look at Erie first the next time they have to fly.
The cheap flights are out there.
Yeah.
Take a look. You know, it might not be the date that you want. It might not be the location you want, but you can find the flights. You can find decent prices.
Yeah. And here's my jingle. When you have the opportunity to fly, give Erie a try. And you can be from bag claim to pajamas in 10 minutes, fly Erie International Airport.
I love it. Derek Martin, Dan Gianelli, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.